Please open up your Bibles to John chapter 10. We'll read from verse 1 to 21. Our text today will be the verses 6 to 16. It's on page 1140 in your pew Bibles. John chapter 10, the verses 1 to 21. This is the Word of God. Truly, truly, I say to you, that's Jesus speaking, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. When he has brought out all of his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father." There was again a division among the Jews because of these words. Many of them said, "He has a demon and is insane. Why listen to him?" Others said, "These are not the words of one who is oppressed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" Let us pray. The Heavenly Father, we pray that these amazing words that come from your mouth, O Jesus Christ, would be opened up to us, and that we might enter into our hearts, transform our lives, and give us strength to follow you. Father, we pray that these words might be the means for some to come and follow you. For we pray a blessing upon your word. For that which we are to do now, to listen to your word, to preach your word, can only succeed by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so, Spirit, we pray that you would enlighten our minds and hearts with the truth of your word. For we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Beloved, last week we saw Jesus as the shepherd who calls his sheep out of this world to follow him. We saw this beautiful picture of Jesus coming down to this earth to lead his church out. And he would come to the doorkeeper, he would call his own sheep, and those who were his sheep would hear his voice, believe in him, and follow the shepherd. We also saw that the blind man portrayed this hearing the voice of the shepherd by his faith. We understood that faith is the hearing of the shepherd. And the true sheep of Jesus, like the blind man, will believe in him and will worship him. That is the evidence of election, of being a true sheep of the shepherd. But the people did not understand this picture. John 10, verse 6 says this, "The figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them." And as a result, Jesus gives another picture, another figure of speech about another situation of sheep, shepherds in a sheepfold. And at this time, he speaks of a different kind of a sheep pen. I don't know if you noticed that. I tried to explain it to the children that last week we had this man that was standing like this, if you're sitting close enough to see it, that was the doorkeeper, right? And the shepherd would come to the doorkeeper, but this time it's a smaller sheep pen. It's a sheep pen where the shepherd himself is the door, right? The shepherd himself does not have this role of having a doorkeeper at the entrance of the sheep of the sheep pen, but he himself has become the door of the sheep. And again, of course, this is a piece of land fenced in with it depends what kind of, but usually there was stone, so it was a high stone wall that was circling around, and there was a small opening, just enough for you to sit in with your back against the stone and your feet against the other side, so that the wild animals would have to go through you to get to the sheep. Now, he did this, and the shepherd would lie there at night for to be literally the function of a door. Now, we don't have sheepfolds like that anymore, but I think it's easy to picture what that would be like. And shepherds would do that for two reasons. One, of course, the door functioned so that the sheep would be protected against animals from the outside. The other reason was that the sheep would not wander off. So it's a double way, right? The sheep would not go out into the world, and at the same time, the wild animals, and I was talking about bears and lions, but our text quite clearly says wolves, so we'll keep it to wolves, according to our text. But wild animals could no go in and snatch the sheep. And so the shepherd would protect the animals with his life. And the reason why I said bears and lions is because, of course, David's story, right? David says that he is the one who fought with bears and lions with his bare hands and with his sling, right? So in this, David was a shepherd, of course, in Israel, who would go out and be that protection for his sheep. But the shepherds also sometimes would have hired hands, right? There would be times where the shepherd would have commitments, might have to go into town of trading their products that they had, so they would have to leave the sheepfold behind, and they would have a hired hand who would be paid for a certain amount of time to be the shepherd's door, or to be the sheep's door. But the hired servants did not live for the sheep. The sheep was not the livelihood of these hired hands. And so what would happen if, it's like a balance sheet, right? If danger living in front of those sheep gives you more money than the time it costs, then you will do it. But then when wild animal comes and danger begins to have the overhand and you're actually losing things by trying to give your life for these sheep, well, then the best solution is to run away and let the sheep be eaten. And so the hired hands were useful except when danger struck, because then your sheep would be on the menu for whatever wild animal was approaching. So this is the figure of speech that Jesus uses to explain the role between himself, the blind man, the Pharisees, and the rest of the world, as we will see. And so this morning, as you find in your bulletin, we have four points that we will look at. First, the shepherd who saves, then the shepherd who sacrifices, then the shepherd who knows his own, and then the shepherds whose sheep spread the globe. So who is the shepherd who saves? Jesus describes himself as the door of salvation in verses 9 and 10. Let me read it to you. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Beloved, when we think about a door, we don't automatically think about salvation, right? Door and salvation, like a door is something that is useful. You go in, you keep the bad people out, you keep the good people in, right? A door is useful, but we don't see it as a way of salvation. I mean, when I close the door behind me, I think it is protection, but I don't see it as an act of salvation. But the people in Jesus' time knew exactly what a door meant. The sheep who passed through the door that is by the shepherd's feet, that would cross in by the shepherd's feet into the sheep pen, they would be saved for the night, and they would be the sheep that belonged to the protection of the shepherd. And so any sheep that would have a home, and so not the wild goats and animals that would live through the mountains, live by themselves, but every sheep who would walk by this shepherd and was accepted in by the shepherd and not being, you don't belong to me, but was allowed to go in to among the sheepfold would be saved for the night. And he would belong to the shepherd. And he would be guaranteed that the next day, if he would come out with the shepherd into the pasture, the shepherd would scan the area to see if there'd be any danger that could possibly hurt these sheep. And so the shepherd would look around constantly by day, making sure that every one of his sheep would be saved. And they who belonged to the shepherd enjoy the shepherd's protection and care. You see, the story of the sheep, of the one sheep that is lost, the parable that Jesus shared, was not an unusual thing. If there was a sheep lost, what the shepherd would do, they would get somebody to watch over the sheep, and he would go out to find the sheep. Because the shepherds had this honor that every sheep who belongs to you is under your protection. And if you're a real man, a real shepherd at that time, you watch over your sheep. Now, without the shepherd, you would be in danger. But with the shepherd, you knew that in the morning you would eat the lush grass and the pastures, and in the late afternoon you would be gathered in with the shelter and dangers from the night. And so without the shepherd, the sheep would be in danger. And Jesus says, he comes into the world. He walks among the Israelites, the people of God. And he says, I am the door of the sheep. If anyone comes in through me, they will be saved. I have come into this world to save the sheep of Israel. I came to be the door of the kingdom of God so that you may enter into the kingdom of God by faith in me. That's the message, right? Repent and believe, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Jesus says, I am the door. By faith in me, you'll be like this sheep. Into the sheep pen, into among the sheepfold. You will be like that sheep. You'll be saved forever. Trusting me as the sheep trusted their shepherd. It's the door to salvation. Here in the world, beloved, now I'm talking about you and me. Here in this world, without Jesus Christ, we are in great danger. In danger of evil, of Satan and death. But Jesus protects his people against Satan, evil, and death. Well, you might say skeptically, well, I'm pretty sure there's a lot of Christians who die. Yes, they die. They leave this world. But all that death is for the sheep of Jesus Christ is a gateway through an eternal life. It's the entrance into everlasting life, though the second death, the judgment of God, will no longer have any grip on them. This is glorious. What Jesus is saying is this: whoever comes and enters by the sheep's door, by me, whoever trusts in me, that person will be forever saved from Satan, from danger, from all kinds of evil in this world, and ultimately from the judgment to come. But I think Jesus is saying something even more profound here. And I think that we are so much New Testament readers that Old Testament terms are somewhat vague in the back of our mind. But if you would read through the prophets of the Old Testament, and you start with Isaiah and you go all the way to Malachi, one thing that will come through again and again is the day of the Lord. The day that is coming. Some of the prophets say that this day is not a joyful day to look forward to, because this day was the great day of retribution. The great day of Jesus, of God coming into the world and making a final end to judgment and to life. And there will be a camp, so to speak, of people who are under judgment. And that day is fastly approaching. But there is a way, a door out of this judgment into eternal life. And so there is this day of judgment that is coming, Jesus says to the people there. He says there is a way out of this day being a day of judgment, this day becoming a day of salvation, a day of walking with the glory of the Lord forever and ever. And Jesus says, I am the door to that day. I am the one. If you believe in me, you will no longer forever suffer judgment as you deserve. But I will purchase you and all your sin and all the judgment. And I will take away absolutely every pain, every tear, all the danger away from you so that you will be forever with the Lord. Jesus giving the Jewish people of his time a warning as well. The night was about to fall. Spiritual darkness and judgment were looming on the horizon. But here comes the Son of David, the Shepherd King, Jesus Christ, to bring the people into salvation. You see what Jesus is doing? All those shepherds in the Old Testament, the good shepherd, David, who became king, Jesus says, now the king has become the shepherd. And he is calling out the sheep to come in and be saved. The promised shepherd had arrived who would take care of his sheep. Listen to this, Isaiah 40, the verses 10 to 11. Behold, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules before him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are young. Jesus Christ has come into the people of God. And he says, here is the shepherd. I have come to tend the lamb, to take care of those who can't walk. Right? I'll carry them all the way to the good grass and I'll place them right at the freshest grass. And those who are older, I will watch over them to make sure there's no danger. When I see whatever they had at that time, the equivalent of barbed wire, if I see barbed wire, I will say stop, and I will go and I'll pick it up from the ground so that you will not be in danger. When the wolves come, I will stand before you and strike the wolves dead. When any judgment looms on the horizon, I will come and stand and be your protection. As Isaiah had foretold, the shepherd had come and brought a reward. In John 10, verse 10, it says this, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. That's the sheep's life. The abundant life is the gift from God. This abundant life is not the American dream, but the biblical shalom, the life of peace with God. Whether you'll be rich in this world or poor in the world has no bearing upon this. What this is a life of peace with God, peace in the heart. The biblical blessedness of walking with God. This is the life of Jesus Christ, of being a sheep. Now, my father has sheep. He is by no means a shepherd, but he has probably about 10 sheep. And it's an amazing thing to see these sheep live day in, day out. And especially if you come through a life of stress in your life, and student life sometimes is stressful, and I know business life can be very stressful, and being a grandparent can be stressful, and every part can be stressful in your life. But these sheep just stay there all together, right? They walk in the vineyard, they walk in the field, they drink some water from the pond, and then they go back, and then, oh, it's raining, let's go inside, and they all cozy up together and stand in the shadow. And then my father sees, oh, the grass is a little short. And so my father labors as hard as he can to get them more grass and more feed. And I think, well, they need a bit more food of this. And he gives food and he watches the gate. If it's broken, he fixes the fence. And he's always caring about these sheep. And these sheep just live. And then when there's food, they're excited, right? Then they run towards the shepherd, and then the food will be poured out in the bucket, right? And they'll eat, and they're all happy. And then my father walks to the field of the sheep, and then they all follow him and wonder what he's doing, and they're all excited, and my father turns them over when they need to be, when the wool needs to be taken off, so to speak, and they just lie there, because they trust the shepherd. Right? They trust the one who watches over them. They're well fed. They're comfortable. They're together. They're well treated by the shepherd, loved by my father. And I thought, what a carefree life. What an abundant life. Now, in times when you're bored, you think that must be very boring, right? The point here is the protection and the comfort. That's what Jesus is speaking about. It's not in heaven that we'll be like sheep, just walking in a fence and just being bad, right? It's just what he's speaking about is the comfort and the safety and the protection in Jesus' hands, in God's hands. In a way, this is the life of Jesus Christ, a life of knowing him, a life of enjoying the coming of Christ in our lives. Right, a time of, in the morning, you come before the Lord in the Bible and in prayer, and he's there, he's feeding your soul. And it gives joy, the anointing of joy in your heart. And then you're in pain, right? You may have misstepped. And then rather than the shepherd throwing you in the trash can, he comes and he takes care of your wounds. He watches over you and he protects you and he takes away the things that are dangerous for you out of your life. Right? Well, you get the point. Second point, the shepherd who sacrifices. We find this in verses 11 to 13. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and he cares nothing for the sheep. The hired hand worked for money to sustain his life, but when life became in the balance, he chose life rather than protection. The Pharisees, which obviously is the point that Jesus is making about these hired hands, were men like that. Hired hands who did not truly care. Listen to John 11, verse 48, next chapter. If we let him go on like this, everyone will believe in him and walk away from God, and we want them to worship God. No, that's not what they say. Listen to this. Everyone will believe him, and the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation. That's what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying this, when the man was cast out by the Pharisees, he was cast out of danger into life because he came to me. And these Pharisees were hired hands who proclaimed to love people, but as soon as the truth was spoken and their livelihood, their position came in danger, they had to silence the truth. And in the early church, even in the early church, there were many servants like this. Listen to this. Philippians 2, verse 20 to 21. For I have no one like him, like Timothy, who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. For they all seek their own interest, not those of Jesus Christ. You see what he's saying? Timothy was the only one who really was concerned for the people of God. Everyone was caring like the hired hand for his own life, but Timothy was not. And Jesus saying, the Pharisees are men who care for their own lives, but I care for your life. And that's not just for Pharisees and Jesus Christ. We must be men like that. If I may address, this is a little early, the elders of this year and the coming years and the deacons, we must be men like that who do not care about our own lives, but care about the lives of the people of God. I think the reason why there's so much bad theology in this world today is not because people cannot read their Bibles. It's because people read the Bibles, but they really read it for themselves. They teach and preach to get out, to suck the sheep of God dry, rather than to feed and nurture the people of God. And that's horrific. And I am sorry for the sheep who stand under a shepherd like that. But in the sight of eternity, I am more afraid, more fearful for the shepherds themselves. Because if you say you are a servant of God and you watch over the sheep of God, but you are an imposter, and you suck the sheep dry, you will be judged terribly. That's why Jesus Christ is so strong in his examples. That's why he's saying these hired hands are cowards that do not care for the sheep. And Jesus is balancing the same group in two pictures. He's describing them as thieves and maybe even as the wild animals and as the hired hands. And elders and deacons, we must be men who are like the good shepherd, who do not live for our own ways, but for Christ's ways. To feed the sheep and not to suck them dry. And if you ever, and this I tell this, and I mean it, if you ever find me preaching for myself to suck you dry, you, I bind this responsibility on you, that you will tell me or any man who stands in this pulpit with love and meekness, but you must tell him because he is heaping judgment upon himself. Let's move on. Jesus' heart toward his people was not like that. He did not come to work for the money, but to give himself as a sacrifice for his people. He went to the point of the most cruel death you can imagine out of love for his people. Beloved, I want you to see your shepherd here. Set everything aside. Think upon this. To save his people from the just wrath of God, he came down to the earth and laid himself in between as the way of reconciliation. He laid himself between God and us, between judgment and us, so that the judgment would come upon him and we might be saved. He was spat upon. He was stricken and smitten with whips, tearing his flesh open. He was a crown of thorns pressed upon his brow. He was threatened to be stoned many times. He died finally in his flesh by nails beaten through his wrists and his feet as he hung naked upon a cross because he is the good shepherd. Do you see that? Because he loves his sheep. Because he loves his people. And sometimes these things are very trite when they have these arms open and then I'm receiving you in my open arms because he was forced there. But my dear friends, it's still true. He is the shepherd who says, come to me, I am the door, your door. And finally, he bore the full force of the wrath of God. I wish I could explain that. But I think we'd have nightmares for the rest of our lives. I think we'd be afraid of sleeping if we understood what Jesus suffered through that day. For you, and me. Because he is the good shepherd. Because he loves his sheep. So that his people did not have to suffer. My dear friends, that is love. This is the heart of the heavenly shepherd. Look at his heart. A heart that is willing to endure anything for his people. Beloved, look into the eyes of your heavenly shepherd through these words that is written with love. In Romans 5, 7-8, listen to this. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us. And that while we were still sinners, Christ, I add, our shepherd, died for us. You see that? You see the heart of the good shepherd? Oh, let us draw much nearer to this shepherd Point three, the shepherd who knows his own. Look at this amazing truth in John 10, 14, verse 15. I am the good shepherd. I know my own. Hallelujah. And my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Jesus was not and is not wondering who will come to him. He knows every one of them. At the same time, the sheep know their shepherd. Listen to the promise of the new covenant in Jeremiah 31 as he quotes in Hebrews 8, verse 11. And they shall not teach each one his neighbor and each one his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest. This is the promise of the era of Christ, that anyone who comes to Christ will know him. Everyone who belongs to Jesus Christ will know Jesus Christ because he makes himself known to them. Isn't that amazing? This is the life of the fold of God, a life of knowing the Lord. Now, before you misinterpret this and say, well, when my children are born, they don't know Jesus Christ, so they're not their sheep, everyone knows them. No, that's not what's going on. What's going on is this: when a person believes in Jesus Christ, he will know him because he will receive the Holy Spirit. And by the Holy Spirit, his eyes will be enlightened and he will see his shepherd and he will know him. That's what I love about 1 John. The children, young men and the fathers, the children know God. And the fathers know God. They're very different. The children know him as their Abba, their Papa. They see him, they know him, they love him. But the fathers of the faith, those who have walked with him for a long time, know him far better. But it's the same thing. It's just a growth in knowledge. Do you know the Lord? Do you know him not like a president on a TV screen, but as a father? Do you know him? Do you delight in his presence, his word, his influence in your life? Knowing Jesus is not a feeling of mysterious butterflies, but a love for Jesus himself and a love for his truth proven by a life lived with him and for him. A life of following the shepherd who knows us. But it goes further in John 10, verse 15. John 10, verse 15 says this, Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. In other words, we will know Jesus Christ one day as Jesus Christ knows the Father. And as the Father knows Jesus Christ, that's very well. That's a complete knowledge. Listen to 1 John 3, 2. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. So there's something now, there's something real now, but there's something coming that is greater. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him. This is the word of God. We shall be like him because we shall see him as he is. That's amazing. That there will be a day when our eyes will be open and we will see Jesus Christ, we will see God as he is, and as we see him, we are transformed and be like him, not in being almighty, but being holy and loving and righteous, having that same heart of God reflected upon us. That's astonishing. And I can't wait for that day, because every week I am disappointed with myself. Every week, about my heart, my little love, and my little things that I have, and I want it big. I want a heart that's free and full and generous and faithful in every way. And I look at myself, and it's like a bucket with holes in it. But there will be a day, and this is my great hope. Even though I'm looking at Jesus Christ now and I'm being transformed one degree of glory to another, as Corinthians says, but there will be a day when I will see him in his fullness, and then I will be absolutely transformed and see him as he truly is. and know Jesus as the Father knows Jesus and Jesus knows the Father. With clear vision, without distraction, with love. There will come a day when we will see Him as He sees us. Let us go to the last point. The shepherd whose sheep spread the globe. You see, often when we read the Gospels, we read them as though unconsciously presume that it's all about 21st century people. Well, Jesus is speaking to me and I'm standing in the crowd. Now, that's a good way to read it because then you're really trying to understand the things. But quite honestly, Jesus is not in 21st century America. He is speaking in Israel. And He is speaking to the promised people of God. The Jews who had received the promise that there will be a person who would be greater than Moses, a prophet would come from God, and as Isaiah, a son is given to us, to the Israelites. And so He came as the Jewish Messiah to restore back to God the Jewish people. Isaiah is a passage when it says, the shepherd will come to you. You doesn't mean the world there initially, but you there means Israel. I will come to you. And Isaiah is the prophet to the Israelites. But then Jesus says this, and I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice, so there will be one flock and one shepherd. That's where we come in. The other sheep that belong to the same fold. And this is the amazing thing, because Jesus is not speaking about all the Israelites here. Right? As you remember, the Pharisees are the ones that are not the sheep. The blind man is the sheep. And he is the one who is entering into the fold by faith through the door, Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ says, this blind man is part of a flock, an Israelite flock, right? My faithful servant. But there are other people who do not belong to this nation of Israel. They're Gentiles. They're people that are outsiders, that are not physically offspring of Abraham. They will also become part of this same flock. Now, I want to correct something here that I don't think is that we often get this wrong. I have heard people say, well, in heaven there's Israelites and there's the Gentiles, or even on this earth we have Jewish Christians and Gentile Christians. But listen to what the Word of God says. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. As soon as a Jew and a Gentile believe in Jesus Christ, they are one flock. They become one people. As soon as an Arab and an Israelite believe in Jesus Christ, they become one flock under one shepherd. As soon as an American, an African, and a Chinese believe in Jesus Christ, they become one flock under one shepherd. The other fold is the Gentiles, the rest of the world. Jesus says, it did not just come for the Israelites, but I came to gather my sheep from all around the globe. And that's the amazing thing, right? I mean, we now live in a century where you can open Google Maps and you can just scroll around the world and zoom in and see almost every place on the planet. But at these times, there were many unknown peoples. And a couple of hundred years ago, there were many unknown peoples. And people would go explore and they would find whole new civilizations. And there'd be missionaries sent. A few weeks after they found a new civilization, they would go out there, share the gospel, and people would become believers in Jesus Christ. Jesus knows how to reach His sheep. That's the amazing thing when I hear news of a ministry, of a radio ministry, bringing the voice of the shepherd into lands that it's not easy to travel and go door by door. It will reach a heart, and the gospel will set people free because the shepherd knows how to echo his voice into the ears of his sheep. That's amazing, isn't it? That's why as Christians we should absolutely seek to strengthen every missionary endeavor that we can find that is faithful to the Good Shepherd, to as much as we're able. Because it's the voice of the shepherd that set us free, that now calls out to other people that we don't like culturally, we don't deal with very well politically. But my dear friends, if there are sheep in that city or that nation or that country, we should go out and try absolutely everything to bring out the voice. You say, well, what if there are no sheep? Don't worry. God has a sheep everywhere. And when we go out, we will find the sheep that God already knows and works through us, even though we have no clue what we're doing. We're faithful to God. And so, my dear friends, in this season especially, let us remember not how wonderful Jesus came into the world for us only, but that he came to this world to gather his sheep from every little plock and speck of land or the great nations that are hidden from our eyes in this world. He is the Good Shepherd. Let us pray. The Heavenly Father, we come before you, rejoicing in your word, that you send a good shepherd down to this earth to call us to yourself. Father, we pray that we might truly know the voice of the shepherd. Father, we pray that we might echo on the voice of the shepherd by the power of your Holy Spirit. Help us to be faithful, Lord. And walk with you in the abundant life of knowing you. For we pray that in Jesus' name, amen.